Today's Thursday, May 9th. The title for our devotional is The Unforgivable Sin. We're going to spend one more day here in Matthew 12, simply because this is one of the more commonly misunderstood passages in the New Testament, and it can produce a lot of fear in the believer. It also relates to the Spirit, so it's perfectly at home in this campaign. All right, let's read what we've been reading all along, Matthew 12, 22 to 32. And a demon-oppressed man who was blind and mute was brought to him, and he healed him, so that the man spoke and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, "Can this be the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "It is only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this man casts out demons." Knowing their thoughts, he said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can someone enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? Then indeed he may plunder his house. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. Therefore I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come." So in verses 31 to 32, Jesus says that blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. The assertion that there is even an unforgivable sin leads all of us to wonder, have I committed this sin? This is therefore a topic worth exploring. There's no shortage of possible interpretations of the unforgivable sin. Historically, it has been misinterpreted in ways that produce great fear in believers. In my view, there are three possible interpretations of this text. One, the unforgivable sin is to witness the miraculous work of Jesus and to declare that it is the work of the devil. It is debatable whether this sin can be committed today by extension of reading the Gospels, or if it is restricted to those who lived and walked with Jesus. It certainly shouldn't be expounded to all miraculous works today, since the devil does have power, and discerning the spirits and testing for false prophets is a task for all Christians that we are all called to, as 1 John 4:1 says. Secondly, we can interpret this as some commentators, they expound on this to say that the unforgivable sin is a persisting state of unbelief or rejection of Jesus as the Son of God. Faith in Jesus is the criteria for acceptance into the people of God. So on this view, he is simply stating that persisting, ongoing rejection of him is unforgivable in the sense that those people would not pursue forgiveness in the first place. Okay. Third option is, some take the unforgivable sin to be apostasy, claiming to be a follower of Jesus, but later walking away from the faith and denying him. On this view, one has rejected the internal witness of the Spirit of God, revealing Jesus to be the true Son of God and to be the one who atones for our sins. So to experience that work of the Spirit and reject it is to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. In my view, it seems that number one is the best option, that it's to witness the miraculous works of Jesus and declare that it is the work of the devil, because it's rooted firmly in this context. The question of whether one can still commit this sin today or if it was restricted to Jesus' immediate hearers, that's unclear. Being restricted to Jesus' immediate hearers, I think, would make the most sense as to why the New Testament authors didn't really tease this out more specifically ever. Because, again, we hear this and we have questions, and none of the New Testament authors really teased it out. So I think Jesus is likely specifically talking to those in his hearing here. Note the also, in this age or the age to come, is in reference to the length of the forgiveness that will not be given. Okay, not the unforgivable sin generally. Therefore, it seems best to understand this as being directed towards Jesus' immediate audience. That then means that we can't really commit that sin today. But the definition that I think I like the most comes from Jonathan Pennington. He says the unforgivable sin is a specific, active, and final choice to declare the person and work of Jesus as being demonic in origin. The scribe's decision on Jesus was final, and their hardness of heart was being used by God to bring about his ultimate purpose. The crucifixion of Jesus for the atonement of sin. That was God's purpose. And he used their hardness of heart to bring that about. So even if this sin can be committed today, anyone who later confesses faith in Jesus clearly didn't make a final decision that Jesus was working through the power of the devil. Jesus will go on in verses 33 to 37 to explain that his good work is evidence of his inner intrinsic goodness. Okay, their evil, slanderous words are evidence of their inner intrinsic corruption. Their words have revealed an inner corruption and hardness of heart that is unforgivable. Perhaps Jesus identified that it was God who had hardened their hearts to bring about this purpose of his crucifixion and resurrection, that he recognized they were therefore beyond forgiveness, or that their hearts were so hardened and so callous that they were beyond forgiveness in and of themselves. Taken together, it seems best to me that this unforgivable sin is not something that can be committed today. It seems best to take it narrowly as a pronouncement of judgment on the Pharisees, who have attributed the miraculous work of the Spirit of God through Jesus in his ministry as the work of the devil. This reveals an inner corruption and wickedness that was beyond forgiveness. To sum it all up then, if you are concerned with whether or not you have committed the unforgivable sin and you've professed faith in Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you have not committed it. If you believe and confess the works of the Spirit in Jesus' ministry to be of God, then whatever you may have once thought or said of Jesus, that determination was not final, as it was in the case of the scribes accusing Jesus. You have placed your faith in him now. You've confessed him to be of God and his work of the Holy Spirit. So you can then trust in the finished work of Christ on the cross, that he has removed all of your iniquity from you. His atonement is complete and comprehensively applied to you, if your faith is in him. So there's no need for you to replay all of your previous statements to be sure that you did not commit the unforgivable sin. No need to live in fear of that.